It's an absurdity. It's diabolical. It's wrong.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Monday of the first full week of Lent.
Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for your participation. And we want to share with you, we have a problem.
Well, it's not a grandiose problem. But anyhow, we sat down. We're just about to hit record. And Ken's like, oh, what's your first quote you're going to share? And then it dawned on me that I read the readings for week three and not for week one. So
we're just going to come to you as we are. Janelle feels a little unprepared, but that's okay. You did have something that stood out to you right at the beginning, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I just quickly looked. Some people are inclined towards a superficial optimism and think evil is merely an incidental imperfection in a world which is continually evolving towards better days. Nevertheless, the history of mankind has been adversely affected by the devil's influence. We find in our day all the features of an intense evil, which cannot be explained in terms of human behavior alone. The devil, in all sorts of ways, wreaks havoc on mankind. So what I find interesting is I think this is very true. You know, there was a time in my life when I didn't even want to, you know, acknowledge the fact that there was evil or that the devil was active, in the world. But the more and more I come to grow in my faith, I really see that there's a major spiritual battle that's going on every single day all around us. You know, you just have to turn on a screen to see that we are being bombarded by evil. And you see it. You see it in the family. You see it in society. You see it everywhere.
There's two extremes that we should avoid. Number one, the extreme is that the devil is everywhere, under every single rock, under every single mishap that goes on in life. And the other extreme is that the devil doesn't exist.
Right.
And that's a problem. Not only is it a problem, but it's contrary to what...
Sorry, I just have to get that one fixed.
It's contrary to what the church teaches. Quote from the Second Vatican Council.
The whole of man's history has been the story of dour combat with the powers of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history up to the last day. The devil does this in such a way that he provokes incalculable harm of a spiritual nature and indirectly even of a physical nature to individuals and to society.
So a quote from the Second Vatican Council, also combined with a quote from JP2, we have to remember there is a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle is real. I think we just have to look a little bit at the world and what's happened in the last 2 years.
And even within the last week.
Last week.
And a half.
The devil exists, and he wants
to destroy us.
He wants to destroy us. And if we don't acknowledge the battle, we're going to get beat up. Can imagine going into a boxing ring and there's two boxers there and one acknowledges the opponent and the other one doesn't and the bell goes and the guy doesn't pretends the other one doesn't exist. He's just going to get knocked out, KO'd right away.
KO'd? What does that mean?
Knocked out.
Oh. Bet you there's other people who don't know what that means. Right. The devil is a personal, real, and individual being of a spiritual and indivisible nature who separated himself from God forever by his sin. Because the devil and the other demons were created naturally good by God, but they became bad of themselves. He is a liar and the father of lies, of sin, of discord, of affliction, of hatred, of all that is absurd and evil on earth.
So the devil is the father of lies and the father of all that is absurd on the earth. Can you recognize absurdities within our world? I just feel like we're just surrounded by them. One of them, but think about this. People think it's okay to kill a baby in the womb of a mother. That's absurd. They call it pro-choice. But it's abortion and it's murder. It's wrong. It's an absurdity. It's diabolical. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's okay to kill somebody at the end of life because they think it's merciful. They don't suffer anymore. But that's an absurdity. It's contrary to the dignity of the human person. It's wrong. It's diabolical. Think about what our young children are being exposed to in our schools. They are told that they can be whatever gender they want to be. They can decide. A little girl can decide to be a boy and a little boy can decide to be a girl. That's absurd. It's an absurdity. It's diabolical. It's wrong. Or that marriage can be between two men and two women. That's wrong. It's diabolical. That can never be made good. God has created us male and female. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Or consider pronouns. Facebook now gives the option to choose among 58 different pronouns. That's absurd. That's an absurdity. That's diabolical. That's confusing. That's wrong. You know, we don't get to choose our pronouns. God has created us male and female. Why do we get the right to define our own reality? Do I have the right to say, well, I don't want you to consider me as a he. I want you to refer to me as wonderful. Every time, that's my pronoun. Janelle, every time you refer to me, you have to refer to me as wonderful. That's an absurdity. I don't get to choose my own pronoun. Wonderful. Do you see, friends, that there's a great diabolical disorientation that's happening within the world? And we're being blinded. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And we have to be aware of this or else we're going to get knocked out. Knocked out spiritually. Our will, our intellect is going to be knocked out. I think people's intellects have been knocked out regarding some of this. It's out of touch with reality. And that's what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to disconnect us from reality so that we can define our own reality. Remember what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden? If you take and eat of the fruit, you will be what? Become like gods. What does a god do? God gives reality. But the devil is saying, no, you take that, now you can define your own reality. And what happens? Separation from God, the very source and author of life.
The soul that would overcome the power of the devil will not be able to do so without prayer, nor will it recognize his deceitful traps without the aid of mortification and humility.
So we can expect to fall victim to the traps of the devil if we aren't praying, if we lack humility, and if we're not mortifying ourselves. Mm-hmm. We will go along with the world. We'll go along with the absurdities of the world if we have no prayer life or if we have a very weak prayer life. We will go along with the absurdities of the world if we aren't taking on penances and sacrificing. We will just go along. Friends, this is serious because the consequence of this battle is an eternal one. Mm-hmm. Heaven or hell.
It should give us great confidence to know that our Lord has left us many means by which to conquer and to live in this world with the peace and joy of a good Christian. Amongst these means are prayer, mortification, the frequent reception of Holy Communion, and the sacrament of penance, and love for Our Lady. We are always safe in Our Lady's company.
I think one of the greatest defenses against the devil is simply being obedient to what God has revealed to be true. Because the only way that the devil gains access to our life is when we reject God and then we fall victim to his suggestions and to his impulses and to his attacks. When we remain obedient to God, we remain under his covering and under his spiritual protection. And yes, God has given us great means of protection, like the Eucharist, like going to confession, like sacramentals, like offering ourselves to Our Lady. But all of these are quite useless unless we decide that we want to follow Jesus Christ. We can be wearing all the sacramentals we want, the miraculous medal, the
scapular,
the St. Christopher, and you can be loaded up like the Catholic Mr. T. But if you aren't obedient, none of those are going to help. Obedience to Jesus Christ is our first protection.
The use of holy water is also an effective means of protection against the devil's influence. You ask me why I always recommend, with such insistence, the daily use of holy water. I could give you many reasons, but there could be none better than that of the Saint of Avila. From nothing do evil spirits flee more precipitately, never to return than from holy water. Okay, so after reading about this, about the holy water, we actually have a few fonts in our house, but guess what? There's no holy water in them. We have holy water in a jar, in a cupboard. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to fill up those fonts and put them on the wall, and we're going to use this holy water. Because we should. Why not?
Because we should. You know what? And it causes no harm. Only good can come from something like that. Mm-hmm. In closing, friends, please comment below what stood out to you and why. Pray the rosary along with us right up there, and we will see you tomorrow.